Your Bibles now, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And I want you to pray as I give the message for this evening. I want to talk to your hearts, men and women, boys and girls, preachers, laymen, all people here, that everyone might say, "Yes, Lord, I need this." Look at verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful portion? A little word up there in verse 57. That word victory, victory. Ah, my. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not defeated, not giving up, but victorious people, living for God, serving God, rejoicing in the Lord, and praising God. Now, 2 Timothy, Paul wrote that to young Timothy, and throughout this book he had admonished him in great things, things that are written here that I read to you just now. But he was saying this, Timothy, keep on going, don't stop, don't give in. Don't compromise. Just keep on going. Don't shift around. Don't seek to please the people. But do what God says and keep it on your life. Now that to me is the thing we must have in our lives. Our great desire should be to please God and serve Him. Hey. Not to please others. Not to gain money and prominence. But to please God and live for Him and follow Him every day of our lives. That should be the aim of every one of us. For young men, young preachers starting out, for the old men like myself, pleasing God, doing the thing that would please Him and saying the thing that would glorify Him, not self, not looking for some position, not looking for gain, but saying, "Lord, I'm doing it for you." Now, I want you to think about it. That's what Paul was saying. He's saying, don't be afraid, don't shift around, don't jump around, keep on going. Just keep on going and be thanks unto God and keep on be steadfast and unmovable. Just keep on pushing forward. Never stop, never give in. Just keep on going for the glory of God. Number one, be steadfast about the Word of God. Be steadfast about the Word of God. All Scripture given inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine or so forth. You know the verse in 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture. Now the Word of God is saying, be tough about this. Stand your ground. Don't give in. Be determined. Be steadfast in the thing that you believe about the Word of God. This is God's holy, inspired, infallible Word given unto us, and we've got to stand for the book. And you better be tough about it. Because people are persuading everywhere. People to turn aside, try something else, you know. No. You stay with the book. Stay with the Word of God. Stay with the Bible. Don't make any compromise position, but say, this is the Word of God. And we believe we follow the Word of God. Now, liberalism is everywhere. In schools, in pub pulpits, in Sunday school meetings, in revivals, in big circles, even among fundamentalists sometimes, it creeps in liberalism about the Word of God. You may be ridiculed for your stand, but keep on standing. Make no difference. Say, this is God's Word, God's holy Word. I'm standing for it. I'm preaching it, teaching it. I'll not change one single particle. I'm standing by the book, by the Word of God. Now, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to declare your faith in God. Let me admonish you to spend much time with the Word of God and read and study and pray and preach and use the Word of God. Use God's Word. Live by the Word of God day by day. Read all of it. Read every bit of it. And say, oh God, guide me and show me. Be steadfast. Be steadfast in the Word of God. Now that's my first thought to you. My first thought, be tough, be steadfast, be determined about the Word of God. This is God's holy, infallible Word given to us. And we live it, we believe it, we follow it, we preach it, we teach it, we give it out to our people, and that's good. Number two, be steadfast, be firm about the way of salvation. Be firm, be steadfast about the way of salvation. Paul said, who has saved us and called us. Who has saved us and called us. And Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not worse lest any man should boast. And we're reading on the Word of God. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible has the one way of salvation. The one way is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Not baptism, not church membership, not good works, but faith in the Son of God. Now, man is a thousand ways that they devise. Denominations are everywhere, of every kind imaginable denominations. But you stand by the holy word of God. And this is Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. One way, only one way. Denominations may change, people may shift around, but the Bible says the same. Salvation by grace, not by works, not by baptism, not by membership, not by morality, but entirely and wholly by faith in Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And the word of God. Be steadfast in salvation and hold of this and say, this is it. And I'm going to hold of this great theme of salvation and give the message of God to people everywhere. Christ is the only Savior. Only by faith in Him are men saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house and hold to it. Keep on preaching and teaching it every day. Now be stubborn about it. Be tough. And say, this is it. This is all. You can't make anything else out of it. You can't compromise in the slightest way. It has to be wholly and completely Christ, the only Savior. And you hold to that with determination. But again, be stubborn, be steadfast, and be tough about the Christian life. About how to live, how we should live. And the Word of God points out in many, many places exactly how we live these lives of ours and how we're to live and honor God. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus. And the thing that thou heard of me among many witnesses, the same faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now be stubborn, be tough about the Christian life. Just one way to live, that live according to the word of God. Just one way. No compromise for Baptist, for Methodist, for Presbyterian, for anyone. But simply the word of God and say we're holding to the word. The devil is a great deceiver. He'll tell you that you need to be tolerant and easygoing and pleasant, to have friends on every side. But that's not the way. You stand for the word of God and say, this is it. And be tough and steadfast in the Christian living and living for Christ every hour, every day. And that means separation from the world. That means so living every day that people see Christ in you. Now, Paul had trouble with people. Why, sure he did. And read it in 2 Timothy 1:15, but jealous and Hermogenes. He had trouble with them. And 2 Timothy 2:17, Amenius and Philetus. And over in 2 Timothy 4:10, a man named Demas. And in 2 Timothy 4:14, Alexander. And on and on. Now, there were always people causing trouble. But you stand fast and be tough about the Christian life, living for Christ. And be determined to be separated from the world and live a purified life according to the word of God and live as God wants you to live. But Paul had some good friends along his side. He had Luke and Mark and Priscilla and Aquila and many other, and Timothy, of course. But you live for Christ. The battle is raging today. That challenges all of us. And live the separated life. Hate the things of the world and the things of sin and Satan. Hate them and turn from them. And for the fullness of the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He indwells me, I'm saved. I'm indwelled with the Spirit of God. Now I want Him to fill me and possess me and control my life and make me to be what He wants me to be, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Be dead to self. Be dead to self. Be filled with the Spirit. Get self out of the way and say, Lord, I want You to fill me. Now, for power and witnessing, we must have the Holy Spirit's power. And we witness, give our testimony for Christ. But most Christians fail in this part. They fail to give that testimony with firmness and with Holy Spirit power. They failed in that. And God wants you to have the fullness of the Spirit of God and be separated from the world and say, oh God, I want to be my best. I was in Chattanooga in 1942. And a little handful of people in the church, of course, not very many. And no one getting saved, no one at all. And nothing happening. But God began to do a work. And I look back over the years now, and I'm amazed at what God did from the very beginning. And the things happened. 61,000 more people were baptized during my ministry. And from one missionary we supported when I got there to 565 missionaries around the world in full time that we supported. And from 1 acre of land where we had the church at one time when I got there, we had 55 acres right in the city around the church everywhere doing the work of God. And on I go. And the auditorium from the little auditorium seating about 400 people to the big auditorium seating about 7,500. And God blessed in mighty way. Now, I'm saying that you be stubborn, be tough. And say, Lord, I want things to be done. I'm going to live for Christ. I want to pray and believe God. I'm going to rest upon the promises of God. I want to see things happen in my life. I want to win people to Christ. I want to influence other men and people to walk after God. I want to do my best in every way I can. I want to be my best for Christ. I want to be stubborn and be tough about it and determined to do what God said. Then, number four, be stubborn, be tough, and determined to be steadfast about God's greatest work. What is God's greatest work? And ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's the greatest work. And Paul's great concern, again in Romans chapter 9, 1, 2, and 3, as he witnessed and talked to people and about their great need of following the Lord and doing his will. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continuous sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, my brethren, for my kinsmen according to the flesh, and on he goes, yet revealing the great burden of his heart in Romans chapter 9, and God speaking through this man and telling us what we can be and what we ought to be. Now be stubborn, be tough, be determined to be steadfast in the work of God. And say, oh God, I want to be a witness for you. I want to win a soul. I want to be a faithful witness telling the story of Jesus to people everywhere. And Satan will fight you, and Satan will discourage you. And sometimes discouragement will come from good people who are not thinking, and they do not put the price upon winning the soul like we give it from the Word of God and believe it's the Word of God. But you pray and say, Lord, I'll do my best. And then pray unceasingly for others, unceasingly for others. Let God use your life and your prayer life, and you pray that God will bless and touch others and bring them to the Savior. I remember so well when I first met Dr. John Rice, editor of the Sword of the Lord for so many years. Many of you knew him. But he became a great friend of mine and joined our church for a number of years. He belonged to Highland Park and wasn't there very much. He was on the road traveling, but he was a member of the church, but I knew him. But a man of prayer, I would pray with him. I would pray with him back in the hotel rooms when we'd have prayer together before meeting. And I've never heard a man call so many people by name. I mean hundreds of them. And call them a name one after the other and pray for them, pray for them, pray for them. And that was week after week. I'd say every time the same way. It wasn't a matter of routine, just repeating name. No, he was praying for people by name and calling upon God to save them and the memory of his prayer life. And I asked him one time, just where I got in on this, and he had my name listed down with others. And he said, I pray for you every day. That strengthened my life to believe that someone praying for me every day and calling upon God to help me. And I saw a great need for it. I met a man some years ago in the educational field, Dr. Ernest Wadsworth. We didn't know him much in the Christian field, but he was a Christian man, but in the educational field it worked. And I never said a thing. I had a meeting in a meeting with him, and then I wrote him a few letters and so on. And one time I asked him to pray for me. And this great man, he said, excuse me, just a moment. He took a book on his desk and been turning pages. And it came to 473. That was my name. He said, I pray for you every day. 473. I said, what about the rest? He said, I pray for all of them. I spent hours in prayer. Hours in prayer. Talking to God about people. And asking God to help people. And he said, you're on the list there. Now pray for people unceasingly. Then live uncompromisingly. Live in such a way that no one can question your life. Live so that others can see Christ in you at every time, at every moment. Then witness unceasingly. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Tell the story of Jesus. I read somewhere that a speck of radium too small to be seen with the naked eye, has power to ring a bell for 30,000 years. I read it from a medical magazine. A speck of radium too small to be seen with the naked eye having power to ring a bell for 30,000 years. But my friend, I'm calling on to do something better than that. If you win a man to Christ, that rings bell forever and ever. They never stop. They never stop. And when you bring one man, one woman, one boy, one girl, a child, a little one, an old or anyone, that rings the bell forever in the courts of heaven. And forever and ever, a witness for Christ. Live uncompromisingly and witness unceasingly, giving the story of Jesus to people everywhere and telling them of Christ, the loving Savior. And what a joy, what a blessing it is to be used of God. I knew a man named Nelson Blount. Nelson Blount was a multimillionaire. And he walked down the street in Toronto, Canada, and a member of my church, Ted DeMoss, many of you know the DeMoss name, this is Ted DeMoss, stopped him on the street and witnessed to him. made him mad, made him angry. The big man turned on his feet and ran down the street, almost cursing Ted Owens for speaking to him on the sidewalk. But before he got away, Ted reached his pocket and took out his card, business card, and said, "If I can ever help you, call me." And had pushed it in his hand. The man went on his way and went on down, but he couldn't get away from it. He couldn't get away from that testimony. That one man on the sidewalk in Canada. And he went to someone who could help him. And with the word of God, he was led to Christ. That man became a great soul winner, a great witness for the Savior. And he came down to our place, Nelson Blount. I had him speak to our students and tell how he got saved in that strange, wonderful way that I've given to you here, and how God uses people. Now, let your light shine. Be stubborn, be tough, be determined, and be steadfast in God's greatest work, the winning of souls, pointing people to the Lamb of God. I was 14 years old in Louisville, Kentucky. Mother and father never went inside of a church, never. And a boy on the farm next to our, we had a little farm, about 7 acres of land, and a farm next to our, a boy named Claude Martin, came over one day and said, "Let's go to Sunday school." I'd never gone to Sunday school, didn't know anything about it. 14 years of age. I knew nothing at all. Family never went, mother and father never darkened the door of a church. And I got in the car with him and rode up to the church, Cedar Creek Baptist, and walked through the old, big, old round church building. Remember the old-fashioned buildings were built? Back in the back, in a little classroom, about 12 or 14 boys sat on there, all about my age, I was 14. And they all sat there. And a lady walked in, a lady teacher. Ordinarily, you don't see it that way. But she had taken the class and said, "I want to teach the boys. I want to tell them about Christ." And she did. And for the first time in my life, I heard the gospel. The first time from the lips of a little lady Sunday school teacher in a class of boys. The first time I ever heard it. I listened once, but I came back the next Sunday. She did the same again. Every Sunday the same way. She gave the gospel. I couldn't escape it. And one day the Lord spoke to my heart so deeply, so pointedly, that I put my faith in Christ, that I hear and now receive him as my Savior. And I made up my mind to go to church. I hadn't gone to church, I'd gone to Sunday in the back room. I went in the Sunday, a big auditorium, a big round church auditorium, sat on one side. And the preacher preached, J.N. Benford. I was 14 years old. And Brother Benford preached the sermon. Good or bad, I wouldn't know anything about a sermon, but he preached. And I got up, walked down the front. I said, "Sir, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. My Sunday school teacher told me about him, and I've accepted him as my Savior." And he stood there talking to me. I can see him now, dear man of God, bending over me, a boy of 14, and holding my hand. And said, "Thank God, I'm glad you're saved. I'm glad you're born again. I'm glad you're ready to face life knowing that Christ is with you." And I stood there. And while he stood there holding my hand and talking to me, down the side of that old church building came a couple. My mother and father. They had never been to church before, to my knowledge. They came that Sunday morning. They wanted to see what I was doing. I'd been going. They came. They sat there. They heard. They heard the gospel. They came forward. And when he finished talking to me, he turned to my mother and father and led both of them to the Lord. We were baptized at the same baptistry on the next Sunday. My father first, my mother, then myself. But wait a minute. I'm giving all of that to show the great power of witnessing. The great power of giving the gospel of the Lord Jesus to people everywhere. Preach it, teach it, and practice it. And just give the gospel out and tell people of a loving Son of God, and God will bless. Be stubborn, be tough. Be faithful in witnessing. Do it in spite of what people say. Do it in spite of what people may do to you. But simply go ahead and do the job that God's given you. Then my final word, be stubborn, be tough, be steadfast, be determined about your vision of future work. Be stubborn, be determined. First of all, get a vision of what God wants you to do. Get a vision. Say, "Oh God, give me a vision. I want to know what I should do with my life. How can I use my life in the best way possible? I want God to be glorified. I want sinner to be saved. And I want to give my life to him." And again, don't be impatient. It takes time. Be consistent. Pray and wait on God. And let God deal with your heart. And some of you may be running from God, but you keep on praying, and God can get hold of them. God can change things overnight. Then thirdly, don't stop. Don't give up. Don't turn away. Without a vision, people perish. Get a vision. And see, people don't lose the vision, but keep on pressing the message of Christ. God has room for your life in His circle. Let God use your life. Let God bless you and direct you and make you be what you want to be. Know His will for your life. Know the will of God. Oh, God, I want to know your will. I want to be in the center of the will of God. I've got just one life. I don't want to waste it. I want to spend every bit of it for the glory of God to the last of days. Now, many people discover that too late. They waste time. But tonight, begin tonight and say, oh, God, from this hour on, I'm going to pray that God will use me and use my life to bring people to the loving Savior. I want to get into the center of the will of God and let God know your life and your heart. Let God direct your life. Let God lead you. Be sure of your own salvation. Know Him as Savior. Then give the message as you're commanded by the Word of God. Give it out that people might hear and people might be saved and brought to Christ. Now, where do you want to be with your life? I tell you where I want to be and where you want to be. I want to be in the center of His will. I want to be right in the center of the holy will of God. I've just got one life. You've got one life. Long or short, just one life. I want to be right in the center of His will. Say, oh God, I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to do the best for you. And to achieve that, I need to be stubborn. The world's going to keep on calling, you know. I'm going to be tough and say, no, I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to follow the world. I'm not going to follow man. I'm going to be determined to say, oh God, I want to follow you. I want to be steadfast and do the thing that God has called upon me to do. And so the Word of God said, be ye steadfast. Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast and be determined and hold fast to the thing and say, oh God, this is what I shall do for the glory of God for all of my days. Let God have His way. Be tough. Be stubborn about it. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to witness for Him. I want to work for Him. I want to give for Him. I'm putting God first in my life. Nothing going to change me, my family, my business, my home, my community. I want to do what God said. I want to follow Him. Be ye steadfast, the Lord says to all of us. The call of God for our lives. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father.